Good evening. So I listened to those prayer requests. I was looking back through them and just thinking, with so many of them, that if our God is not omnipotent, we are wasting our time here. Because some of these requests are just so far beyond any human ability to make a difference. And if our God is not omnipotent, then we might as well be at home. But praise God, He is. Our great God is omnipotent. I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 1 just to start out tonight. As we think about the omnipotence of God, we have seen that that means He is all-powerful, that He's almighty. I was thinking about that word almighty and, you know, growing up in a Christian home and in the assembly and hearing, I think that word almighty kind of lost its impact for me. I didn't stop to think of what it really means. I mean, I know it means strong. I always think of that when I hear it. But obviously, almighty means all mighty, omnipotent. Sometimes we lose that as we think of God being almighty. We think of Him being strong, but we might not necessarily stop and think He's all-powerful. Our great God, as we have seen, has the ability to do anything and everything He wills to do. He cannot and will not do anything that is inconsistent with His laws, His character, or His decrees, but He is capable of doing anything and everything He wills to do. We're looking a little bit at some of the scriptural evidence that God is omnipotent. And we saw last time that His titles declare that He is omnipotent. Go ahead and hit that one more, please. Okay, and now I'll hit it again, and we'll go. And the second thing we'd like to just consider devotionally for a few minutes is the truth that His works display that He is omnipotent. Here we are in Genesis 1. You know the story well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The omnipotence of God, we see it. Go ahead and hit another one, please, and one more. His work of creation. In God's creation, we see His omnipotence, that He said, "Let there be light," and there was light from nothing. God made everything from nothing. In Jeremiah chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but let me just read a couple of verses for you. Jeremiah 10, verses 10 through 12, or 11 and 12, rather. "Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at His discretion." He has made the earth by His power, His creative strength. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. He made it all from nothing, which makes it even more amazing. The wonderful design of the designer, the vastness of creation. Just to pause for a few moments and think about the stars. Based on observations from the Hubble telescope, the current best estimate for the number of stars in the observable universe is 5 times 10 to the 22nd power. That's 5 with 22 zeros after it. Well, if you're like me, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it's impressive, but I can't really get hold of that. This will help you a little bit. If you were to count one star every second, it would only take you to count all of the ones in the observable universe, that 5 with the 22 zeros after it, it would only take you 1,500 trillion years to count them at 1 per second. That's the vastness of the observable universe, the omnipotence of God, that He is all-powerful. To create something like that, and I think one of the reasons, I don't know why He created that many stars, but I think one of the reasons is to let us know that He is almighty. He is omnipotent. We can't even count them all. Amazing. His creation shows that He is omnipotent. Creating stars with the appearance of age, I believe, just like He created Adam as a full-grown adult, He created the stars with the appearance of age, and we can see their light from so many light years away. Not enough time has gone by for that light to travel here, but He created them with an appearance of age, and we can already see them. Our God is omnipotent, and His creative work displays that. Also, we see that His work of preservation. Work of preservation. Look over at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And while you're turning there, I'm gonna read you the next verse in Jeremiah 10, where we read about the truth that He made the earth by His power. Verse 13 of Jeremiah 10 says, "When He utters His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings wind out of His treasuries." He preserves this earth. Preserves this earth. All of those stars, the observable universe, and our sun is one of those. Taking you 1 second to count. One of those. And we're just one of the planets around our sun. And yet He preserves. He preserves all of creation. But He preserves this earth. And we see there in Hebrews chapter 1, in that third verse of this very beautiful proclamation concerning our Savior, His Son. In fact, let's go ahead and read beginning at verse 1 in Hebrews 1. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person," and here's the phrase I wanted us to reflect on briefly, "and upholding all things by the word of His power." Of course, there's a lot more there as we continue to read, and we'll mention some of those things in a minute. But just that thought that He is upholding all things by the word of His power, by the word of His omnipotence, by the word of His almightiness, He is holding it all together. Those tiny atoms, those measureless galaxies, He's holding it all together by the word of His power. When He utters His voice, things happen. We were down at the beach a couple of weeks ago, and Harvey and I were sitting out on the deck. Little Harvey. Big Harvey wasn't there. Little Harvey, and we were sitting out on the deck, and he said, "Papa, what's the ocean doing?" You know, that made me think for a minute. What is the ocean doing? You know, and the, I could tell, the waves are coming in and they're going back out, just like God made them do. And He's controlling that, isn't He? Every wave that comes in, well, we know the moon and we know all those things are involved, but God is in control by His power, handling it all, our great God. His work of preservation. And then His work of intervention. And under that, I put four things. You could think of more, I'm sure. But as we think of God intervening in the history of our world that He created, we see Him intervening through judgment. We know what happened back in Genesis 6 and 7 with the flood. And we read there that God told Noah, "I will cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights." He was in control of that. He was intervening. It had never rained before, and now it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And as well, the waters of the great deep are going to break up, and it's going to flood the whole world. Pharaoh, as he tried to cross the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, we read that it was the Lord who overthrew the Egyptians. It was the Lord who saved the Israelites. who brought them out, who brought them through. He did that. It was His great work. His great work. In Psalm 18, David prays to the Lord. He said, "O Lord, my strength." And he goes on to talk about all that God had done and would do on his behalf. God is intervening in judgment as He chooses. And of course, we know that judgment begins at the house of God. And we see sometimes Him working in our own lives. And we thank Him for that, because He does it in grace. We see Him restraining. Back in the book of Job, we see the power of God over Satan. As Satan himself speaks to the Lord and says, "Have you not made a hedge around him?" God was protecting. He was restraining the devil. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read concerning a future time, but something that's a reality right now. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed." Then the Antichrist will come forward. But right now, the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, the Omnipotent One, is restraining the lawless power, Satan's power. He's holding it at bay. How thankful we are, as John assures us in 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater, stronger than he who is in the world," because he is omnipotent. We also see his work of intervention and his alteration, his miracles as he alters nature. The Lord Jesus did it when he was on the earth. God has done it through various prophets and apostles and doing miracles on the forces of nature, and also on sickness and even over death and demons. I think about China trying to sow rain over Beijing back before the Olympics. The Summer Olympics, which were held there. They were trying to sow rain, you know, the airplanes, you know, dropping the stuff, trying to get it to rain. God can intervene, and He brings the rain as He chooses. And then fulfill prophecy. Don't hit it yet. Thank you. Well, that's all right. You're good. We need to move on. Fulfill prophecy. I was thinking about fulfill prophecy, and I thought, you know, God, His omniscience is seen in the prophecy, and His omnipotence is seen in the fulfillment. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's able to prophesy, and we see His omnipotence. He is able to bring to pass, to fulfill everything that He says, and of course those things work together. And then we see the work of redemption, the work of redemption. Romans 1:16, where Paul claims that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The power of God, by the way, we read in 1 Peter 1:5, is what keeps us through faith for salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. The work of redemption. Here in Hebrews chapter 1, if we want to keep reading there in verse 3, after we read that He's upholding all things by the word of His power, "When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." By Himself purged our sins. He didn't need your help. That's good, isn't it? Because you didn't have any help to give Him. Neither did I. He didn't need anybody's help. He did it all by Himself. He is the omnipotent God, the almighty, all-powerful God. And He, on His own, has done the work of redemption. Died for us. Given Himself for us. And not only that, one more. His work of resurrection. His work of resurrection. Look over to Ephesians 1, familiar verses, as we close tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. As Paul prays for this local church in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, almost, as he prayed for them, we read there in verse 19. He wants them to understand, to know, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. The work of resurrection was a work of power. It took omnipotence to raise Christ from the dead. No earthly power could do that. No spiritual power apart from God Himself could do that. It took omnipotence to raise our Savior from the dead. Well, it's 8:30. I was hoping I was going to get a chance to get a few examples from you. But you can just reflect on those and share them after the meeting or with one another. How you've seen the omnipotent God work in your life, in your world, in your family, in your assembly. I'm thankful that He's omnipotent. Those prayers we prayed tonight were not wasted. He is able to do beyond what we can ask, exceeding beyond what we can ask or even think, through the power that works in us that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are the omnipotent God. You are our strength, O Lord. We pray that with David. He recognized that, and we do too. And he had seen it in his life, and we have as well. And Lord, we thank You for revealing Yourself as the almighty, all-powerful God. We thank You for displaying Your power to us in Your works. Father, thank You for the ones we've reflected on tonight, and we know there are so many more that we could spend weeks and months and years, and Lord, we will spend eternity reflecting on and reveling in the greatness of Your power and all that You have done and all that You are doing and all that You will do. Father, might we see Your power in a fresh way. Might we appreciate it. Father, might it embolden us to go forward in faith, trusting You that You will do what is best in every situation. We thank You so much for Your work of redemption. Father, we thank You for Your work of resurrection, for allowing us to come and intercede one for another and to gather here tonight. Father, we give You the glory in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you as you reflect on the omnipotent God.